In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get
Let's talk movies. It's Pass the Popcorn, brought to you as always by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everybody in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge is right here in studio, like he does. Not calling in. That's not how Alan rolls.
It's true. It's not how I roll.
No.
No, I get picked up by my wife and brought over here.
Right.
Like an adult man.
Yes. The way it should be. And we appreciate that. How was your weekend?
It was good, actually. It was much longer than anticipated, actually, because Sheridan actually had the day off on Friday, the observation of Veterans Day.
Yes.
And so basically Friday was Saturday and Saturday was Sunday. So I don't know what the heck yesterday was.
Mm.
But yeah, it was pretty great. And I'll talk about it a little bit more on Wednesday because I wrote a story about it. But we did. There were three different breweries in the area releasing new beers over the weekend. And so over the course of those days, we hit all of them.
Good for you. Well played, sir.
Yeah, you know, had a delicious meal out, and then finished watching Stranger Things too.
Oh,
yeah, no, my life is hard.
It is tough. I would like to watch the rest of season two, but I've not done that yet. And as I was telling you, I'm right now the single parent responsible for the care and feeding of a nearly 4-year-old, as mom had a death in the family and had to go out of town. And I'm exhausted.
Right. And you've been doing it for what, like two days?
2 days. Yes. I mean, I respect and love my wife for the job she does, but wow.
Yeah.
And I was an only child. I didn't have any little brothers or sisters to see the work involved in this.
Sure, sure.
Again, you know, any mom listening, God, you're awesome.
Yeah, right. Bless you.
And he's a good guy. We haven't had, he's well behaved. We haven't had any issues.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. Like
the energy required.
Like you've got a good one.
Yeah. I will say this though. I wish I could buy stock in Oakhurst. Because there's never been, if there's been a living human that can consume more milk than my life, a gallon of milk yesterday.
Oh, fantastic.
A gallon.
Is he like in training? Like, is he?
I don't know, but he's developing udders. I don't think it's good.
Is he getting ready to go out for football? Like, what is he?
He doesn't eat much. He's not. He has not embraced food like the old man has yet. But
well, give him some time.
Well, he puts away the milk like I do Bangor Brown. It's crazy. So I'm tired, but
sure.
What are you gonna do?
You look like you're hanging in all right.
Yeah. I'm shaved for a while.
Yeah.
And bathed. I'm time for that.
Yeah, no judgment. No judgment.
But you, despite out there sampling beers and having dinners out, you somehow, once again, found your way to the movies and saw two.
I did. Where would you like to start? We're going to have some fun talking about both of these, I think.
All right. Well, I don't know. Let's go. I'm trying to think, where's the great potential for Barbs. Let's start with Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes, we can do that. Murder on the Orient Express, based on the 1934 Agatha Christie story, also a movie, and I believe 1974 was the original. There have been a couple of incarnations in the years since, but this is the first like Hollywood sort of leap towards retelling that story in about 40 years. For those who are unfamiliar, it's the story of the brilliant Belgian detective Hercule Poirot, who he's basically Christie's Sherlock Holmes character, that sort of transcendently brilliant detective figure, and it's the story of him after solving a case, making his way back home via the fabled Orient Express, only to discover while on the train, there's a murder, and everyone is a suspect. And that's really all I'm going to say about that, because if you are one of those people who is unfamiliar with the story, I'm not going to be the one to spoil it for you, because when it comes to mysteries, the mystery's part of the fun. Kenneth Branagh stars as Poirot. He also directed the film. It's Branagh and his, I must say, magnificent mustache.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, this mustache. I can't even describe it. It's just it crawls along his face in such a beautiful way. It's one of those, it's kind of a throwback kind of movie, because it's got that sort of adventure feel, and it's got a huge cast filled with wonderfully talented people. Michelle Pfeiffer's in this movie, Johnny Depp, Josh Gad, Derek Jacobi is in this. Who else? Dame Judi Dench, and a number of other, Willem Dafoe, and all sorts of other really wonderfully talented, Penelope Cruz. The list goes on and on. It's this your standard sort of locked room kind of mystery, and it all plays out. We get to watch the wheels turn with Poirot as he interacts with all of these various characters. It's a wonderful playground for the actors. It has to be, because so many of them are steeped in that kind of stage tradition. Anyone who has built a career as an actor and has spent any time on the stage has done Agatha Christie, and so especially the English war horse types, those folks know them some Agatha Christie, and so the opportunity to do that on the big screen surrounded by all these other wonderful talented people you could just tell that people were really digging it, they were really having a good time. Branagh's great. He's a perfect fit for this, both in terms of the sort of actor he is and the sort of director he is. He's got that kind of old school sensibility that I think fits very well in telling a story like this. And, he's not afraid to go for it when it comes to these sort of broad characters with the accent and the mustache and all the weird idiosyncrasies. He really digs into it, and it's a lot of fun. The cast across the board is great. Johnny Depp has some good stuff. Josh Gad's very good. Judi Dench, Jacobi. The real surprise for me was she's obviously very talented. Michelle Pfeiffer's great in this movie. She's really good. And it's one of those things where it's like she's been kind of, out of the picture a little bit in terms of in Hollywood terms for the past few years. So it was really nice to kind of see her not only in a movie, but in a very sort of meaty kind of role and really doing a great job. Plus you have the added bonus of the wonderful scenery and all these wonderful aesthetic touches, and you put it all together, and it's a really fun movie, and it's also a movie where the door is left open at the end for a Hercule Poirot extended cinematic universe, which I'm both sort of excited about and kind of leery of, but at the same time it's like, what the hell, they make extended universes out of everything else, why not to get some good mystery stories out there.
All right, and then interesting timing given all that's happening in Hollywood, but hey, Mel Gibson's back as a let's wrap our arms around that guy in Daddy's Home 2.
Oh, Daddy's Home 2. It's remarkable because this is, I believe, the second time in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, where I've seen, a parentally themed holiday movie sequel to a coarse comedy that came out, a couple of years ago. Because we had a Bad Mom's Christmas, and now we've got Daddy's Home 2. Brad and Dusty, Brad played by Will Ferrell, Dusty played by Mark Wahlberg, have finally settled into a reasonable co-parenting situation. Brad is married to Sarah, played by Linda Cardinelli. He's the stepfather to Dusty's two kids from his previous marriage to Sarah. He and Sarah have a kid together. Meanwhile, Dusty has remarried, and he has a stepdaughter of his own, and they're all just one big convoluted blended family. It all seems to be going well. It's so well, in fact, that they decide, you know, instead of spending Christmases all over the place, let's just have one Christmas with everybody together. And everyone's like, yeah, that's a great idea. And it is. Until the other daddies show up. That being Brad's father, an emotionally expressive retired postal worker, played by John Lithgow, and Dusty's father, a womanizing ex-astronaut, played by Mel Gibson.
Yes, of course.
And there's the thing. So they're part of the extended Christmas, and Mel Gibson's like, hey, let's have our extended Christmas out at a fancy cabin in the woods. So they all go to a cabin in a resort town, and then the hijinks ensue because Mel Gibson doesn't believe that Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg are actually getting along as co-dads, and so keeps throwing in little digs and little sabotages in an effort to bring any submerged resentment up to the surface. And as you might imagine, that happens pretty quickly. And then things, as they do in these sorts of films, rapidly spiral out of control.
I like many of the people involved in this, but I don't know. Will Ferrell's not exactly on a roll lately.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I was one of those people who was willing to defend the house, but it doesn't necessarily matter if I defend it because nobody went to see it. This one did a little bit better actually as far as box office is concerned, but it's not a great movie. You know what I mean? It's just like there's a mean-spiritedness to it that I think kind of undercuts what Will Ferrell does so well. Like there's the manic, sincere, man-child kind of vibe, which he does in this movie, but it doesn't really fit quite as well just because there's a lot of weird anger that's going on in this movie that I don't think is necessarily a good fit for the source material, for the subject matter, just because, again, do we really want to, get yucks out of these sort of blended extended families, like failing to function well? Like, is that something we should really be finding funny? Don't get me wrong. There are some moments that I most certainly laughed at. But a lot of it felt kind of like stitched together from a bunch of like rejected 80s sitcom premises. That being said, like you said, Ferrell, I like Ferrell. I like what he does. John Lithgow is great. I love that guy. It's so much fun to see him kind of lean into a part like this.
I enjoy Mackie Mac.
Yeah, it's one of those things where when he stays in his lane, he's really good, and he more or less stays in his lane in this movie. It's weird looking at Mel Gibson. It's weird looking at him on stage, especially in this sort of trying to stir the pot in this sort of already kind of, this relationship that's attempting to be healthy, and him kind of stepping in and making it weird. It's like this, it's not on the nose, but it's a little closer to home than maybe we should be comfortable with. And again, who am I to say, there's no denying the guy's talent. He was back in the directorial chair last year with Hacksaw Ridge, which was an excellent movie. He's back on screen in this movie. And granted, he's moved on to playing dad parts, which I think is probably appropriate. But he's still maybe kind of a hateful human being. And that's, that's difficult to walk back considering. And I know it's been a while, but at the same time, like you said, considering the current climate, it's almost like, he was lucky to get busted 5 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Which sounds terrible to say, but I think that's the case. I think he has a real shot at career rehabilitation solely because of timing.
Well, yeah, and in today's Hollywood, if he just hasn't dropped his pants in front of somebody, then that puts him, I guess, on the good list.
Right. It's a sad state of affairs, to be sure. Also a sad state of affairs. Daddy's Home too.
Tying it all together.
That's what I do.
Thank you, Alan.
You're very welcome.
It's Alan Adams of The Main Edge. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, Stillwater Avenue in Bangor.